Hi, everybody. Today is Memorial Day, 2020. Kind of a sad day, certainly if it's a day for remembering the deceased. I know typically it's for remembering people in the military who died, but I think we're over the 100,000 mark today of the number of Americans who have died from COVID-19 coronavirus. Very scary. And, you know, Trump is out golfing or doing something, and states are reopening, and it's very frustrating. So the only advice I would have for listeners is to speak up to your local state and federal officials and voice your concerns. But also, this is also a time when our Buddhist practice can really help us. And so, again, because we're secular and non-theistic and we don't believe in supernatural or magic or, you know, any of that metaphysical voodoo type stuff, our practice is about meditation and centering ourselves around Buddha's teachings and, you know, things like the Three Jewels, the Four Noble Truths, the Eightfold Path, the various sutras in his teaching leading up to his final and greatest culmination, the Lotus Sutra. And so I think that in chanting, in the Nichiren tradition, chanting is done, traditionally it's called Daimoku, which is, Nam-myoho Renge-kyo, or some say Namu-myoho Renge-kyo, is basically just chanting the title of the Lotus Sutra. And then we also typically chant and meditate while chanting chapters 2 and chapter 16 of the Lotus Sutra in Shindoku, which is basically a method of pronouncing Chinese characters in a Japanese pronunciation kind of way. But that is just a tradition, right? And so, I mean, certainly people are free and can get personal benefits from using any type of mantra. Some Buddhists chant the Heart Sutra, or some others chant the Diamond Sutra, and, you know, there's a whole selection. I think, you know, from our perspective as secular Nichiren Buddhists, or Nichiren-inspired Buddhists, and focusing on the Buddha's final cumulative teaching, that it's just somewhat symbolic, I think, to use the Lotus Sutra, the title and the contents, as a chanting meditation practice. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with people who choose to, to use another mantra, to use the Diamond Sutra or the Heart Sutra, or, really any of the more than 84,000, I think there are more than 84,000 individual pieces of Buddhist, quote, air quotes, scriptures, which we'll call literature because scriptures tends to give some kind of deity or theistic meaning, or we could even call them, let's say, teachings. So certainly from the Pali Canon and then later works, are part of the Mahayana tradition, which is certainly what we're part of, the modern, more modern tradition of Buddhism, and also, by the way, the majority position of most Buddhists on the planet. Theravada Buddhism, which is the other main school, there are two main schools, Mahayana and Theravada. Theravada Buddhists are more, conservative in their approach to what they consider to be the canonical literature of Buddhism. And so, for example, typically don't accept, for example, the Lotus Sutra as being authentic, or they don't really extend beyond the original Pali, Pali canon. And that's okay. I mean, they're certainly entitled to that. So, the whole Mahayana versus Theravada, it's kind of a little bit, kind of sorta like Catholicism versus Protestantism in Christianity. Where basically the Pope consider, the Pope and Roman Catholics consider that to be the true church, right? And then, during the Reformation, when Martin Luther kind of broke off and started Lutheranism, and then all these other things happened. And so we have this plethora of, Methodists and Presbyterians and Baptists and Southern Baptists and Episcopalians, and it goes on and on and on. And then on the Catholic side, of course, there was the split off and into the Orthodox Church. So you have the Greek Orthodox Church and the Russian Orthodox Church. So similar things have happened in Buddhism, with excuse me, kind of a branching, splitting of, over the past 2,500 years of various schools of thought and philosophy. And but anyway, today Theravada and Mahayana are the two main splits at the top, and then within each of those there are various splits, and that goes to, beliefs, practice, and a whole kind of plethora of things. So even though, I guess, because we are Lotus Sutra based and Nichiren Shonin inspired, that automatically kind of sort of makes us Mahayana. But one could also argue that we're neither Mahayana or Theravada because, we don't accept, we don't accept or believe in many of the theistic supernatural beliefs or practices that kind of float through kind of both of those main schools of Buddhism. So, we might say really that the tree at the top should be restructured, and that it should be Theravadin, Mahayana, and then secular. And then, underneath secular, of course, we would have, like our practice or school, secular Lotus Buddhist, which is kind of Nichiren-inspired, Lotus Sutra-based. And then also underneath secular, we could have secular Zen practitioners, secular, they're all different kinds of flavors of secular Buddhism as well, derived from mainly Mahayana schools, I'm guessing, but I'm guessing there could be some Theravada Buddhists who might float over to the secular side, but it's less likely because they're more conservative and in their beliefs. So, and generally, I think more theistic. So I just wanted to kind of give an update today on Memorial Day because, the number of deaths here in the United States is really scary and astounding. And I know here where I live in Northern California, excuse me, in rural Humboldt County on the coast, not too far from Oregon, actually, the county here is starting to, I don't know, go into phase one of reopening. And, meanwhile, the number of cases have increased by 30% in the past 5 days. And it's a very scary, there's a real push. I mean, I, you know, I understand the frustrations of businesses shut down and closing and, the loss of money. And, I understand the economic picture, but I can't imagine valuing money over human life. As a Buddhist and as a secular humanist, life, to me, whatever life that is, human life, animal life, plant life, insect life, overrides, the life of the planet itself, the ecosystem of the planet, including the species that live on the planet, is more important than capitalistic money concerns. But that could also be because I'm a, admittedly, diehard Marxist socialist as well. So, and I'm not saying that everyone needs to agree with me. I'm just saying that's my point of view. I'm not, I know that I'm mixing, politics with philosophy, with, what some people might call religion. Those are my own thoughts. Certainly for someone to be a secular Lotus Buddhist, they don't need to be a Marxist or a socialist. But I do think that in general, those types of people with those types of political beliefs kind of fit real closely into Buddhism because of all the, the empathy and the compassion and the do no harm, all these kinds of concepts that we have and hold dear in Buddhism, whether we're secular or theistic. So I think, like I was saying a few moments ago, that meditation, chanting, is really a way. And again, no voodoo. Just by meditating and chanting, it can help calm ourselves down. This plague, let's just go ahead and call it that, pandemic plague, is very anxiety producing. It's causing a lot of people, including myself, admittedly, to suffer, sometimes from some pretty severe anxiety, depression, uncertainty, fear, a lot of emotions, I think a lot of people are having, and and this is where our practice helps. So not only does it help ourselves in calming ourselves and trying to just relax and kind of breathe and focus on, kind of what our core principles are philosophically, and in how to put those into practice. And by meditating on how to put those into practice and then actually putting them into practice can help not only ourselves, but the environment around us, including other people around us and situations that we find ourselves in. And so, I try to think of it as like a domino effect. So, similar to how some Buddhists view karma, it's putting a good cause out can create good effects. And so, certainly from our secular point of view, we hold that karma is simply a term used to explain the scientific law of nature or physics, which is a universal law, by the way, of cause and effect. And so by meditating and just kind of clearing our minds and thinking about our core philosophical Buddhist principles based on his teachings, which I find are somewhat universal anyway. And then figuring out kind of in our minds, like, how, you know, oh, like, how could I interact with, you know, my neighbors or my friends or, you know, the Instacart delivery person or the cashier at the supermarket or, you know, and I don't mean that in a new agey kind of way. No offense to new ager people if they're out there, but I mean it in a sincere way. Like, you know, if we are kind and compassionate and caring and try to ease suffering in ourselves, and then through our meditation and chanting, figure out ways to interact with our environment and other beings, you know, our pets, other human beings, our environment, planting, gardening, you know, whatever that may be. To some it may sound silly, but it's true, that, you know, the more empathetic, you know, kindness, compassion, that we put out there, it's kind of quote unquote contagious, I think. I think, you know, in my mind, again, you know, my personal opinion, not doctrine, that that's how meditation and chanting helps me personally. And I think that's probably how it can best help those of us who are Buddhist but who are secular or non-theistic or, you know, atheist or agnostic. Just very just very kind of practical terms, without magical thinking at all. So I think one of the things that we could meditate and chant on is just this, you know, the pandemic and, you know, how it affects us, ourselves, those around us, our communities, and what we can do to remain safe, help others remain safe, and for ourselves and others to be less, you know, frightened, anxious, depressed, as we move forward through this. So that's just a thought for the day. So I'm not really going to say happy Memorial Day, which I know some people do. I think of today as like a kind of melancholic day of remembrance, but I think that we have to, you know, this is a worldwide event and it's essentially affecting the entire planet. And we have to figure out a way to get through this on our own, but also together. So, and I think that chanting and meditating can help with that. And I would also encourage people to read, you know, some of the Buddha's teachings. So obviously the Lotus Sutra, which you can find in its entirety. You can download it's a very large PDF, but you can download or view on our website, secularlotusbuddhists.org. Or if you'd like to buy a copy, that is good as well. I would encourage people, by the way, who order books online, to go through Powell's Books in Portland, Oregon, which is one of the most phenomenal bookstores I've been to in the United States. It's absolutely ginormous. And they have really been suffering as a result of the pandemic. So they're a really awesome bookstore, both to peruse in person. I mean, it's so gigantic inside. It's like a mall. And their online store is excellent, and you can find new and used books there for very reasonable prices, and they're really awesome people. So If you do want to order some Buddhist books, I would encourage you maybe to order from Powell's instead of, for example, Amazon. I think Jeff Bezos may have enough billions already. I'm not sure. Powell's could use a little help. Anyways, just a little bit of Buddhist compassion toward Powell's. And they do have a lot of Buddhist books and literature and writings in stock, both new and used copies. So, yes, reading the Lotus Sutra, for example, it's not easy reading. It's full of all types of allegorical, mythical, symbolic, creatures and events, and it can seem a little heavy. There are multiple authors who have written kind of guides or analyses to the Lotus Sutra, kind of like a cliff notes or spark notes, if you will, of the Lotus Sutra to help people understand it better. I still find, as a trained linguist myself, and former translator interpreter, I find that even though I don't speak Asian languages, that the English language used in the various translations, English translations that are available for the Lotus Sutra is still very heavy. And I think that we could really use a new translation. I mean, not only in English, but every other modern living language that simplifies the language a little bit and removes all of these Pali and Sanskrit terms, which, if you're not a Buddhist scholar or you haven't been reading this stuff for decades, it can be a little intimidating. So that's something I'm thinking about. So if anyone is interested in helping with kind of an open source kind of volunteer project to do that, please reach out and let me know. I think that we could do a translation from a translation, which is always a little controversial, but I think we could take the current English translations and just simplify the English, remove the Pali and Sanskrit terms, and replace those terms with English equivalents. Because I speak French like I do English, I also have a copy of the Lotus Sutra in French. And I have to say that when I read, I almost prefer to read the Lotus Sutra in French because that it's just, I mean, it still has some of the Sanskrit and the Pali words embedded in it, but the language is just better, I guess, or is just more comprehensible to a French speaker than the English language translations, with all due respect to the translators, just seem very scholarly and erudite and very just, a little bit difficult to get through. So maybe we need a modern, quote unquote, plain English or plain French or plain German or plain Swedish or plain, whatever language version of the Lotus Sutra so that it's accessible to more people. And more, or better understood. So that's just an idea. So that was really all I wanted to talk about today, just a few thoughts. And the website will be having some improvements soon. Right now, our website is really just kind of a mirror of our Facebook page, Secular Lotus Buddhists. But some features are being added by the web team, so thing that aren't on the Facebook page. because of limits and, you know, in how Facebook works. But on our website, you can find some things, you know, different tabs at the top for, you know, like we're building kind of a library of Buddhist writings and books, or links to them at least, if they're copyrighted, where they can be purchased. Non-copyrighted things, I think it's like, you know, things that were written more than 100 or 150 years ago, we can post for free on the website for download. But things that are under current copyright, we can only legally provide purchase or lending options. Don't forget that a lot of times these days, your local library has systems available online on their website to borrow books online, ebooks, for use, you know, on a Kindle or on a tablet or on a phone. So for those who don't really, you know, have a budget for buying a lot of books, that may be one way to get access to Buddhist writings or books that are newer. And that are under copyright through your local library. I've done it before when I lived in Seattle. And also I think when I lived in San Francisco, borrowed books through the library when, for example, the library would have a copy of some particular sutra or something that I couldn't find in a physical bookstore or online because it's out of print, you know, and there were no used copies available that I could find, but I would find, oh, you know, the San Francisco Public Library has an ebook copy version of it. And those systems are a little bit odd because some of the libraries, even though it's one file that a million people could get a copy of, for whatever reason, they limit the number of people that can kind of pull down and download and read a copy of any ebook at a time. I don't know why they do that, if it's out of some kind of licensing agreement with the author or with the publishing house, but probably. But like I was saying, our website's going to be improved. So not only just in content, but in function and features. So for example, one of the things that is being added, in the background, it's not, you know, in the staging environment. You know, we kind of have the real website that you see at secularlotusbuddhist.org, but then there's also kind of a copy of the website in the background that we're working on and adding functions and features to. And then as we, you know, as that gets tested, it gets moved up to replace, you know, kind of what's there now. So we are adding video conferencing features, for example, better live streaming, and also some ways to store, share, and collaborate on data, and also have chat discussions for, you know, both internally for people who eventually become members of Secular Lotus Buddhists, and then also, you know, public, you know, things that we open up to the entire public, right? So the two meeting technologies that are being looked at right now, I'm being told, are Jitsi, Jitsi, which is open source, and then also another one called Kopano Meet, Kopano Meet, Meet. Those are both free and open source. And so I think those are being tested right now. Nextcloud, the community open source version, is being, I believe, tested for things like collaborating on documents, and Nextcloud has kind of features built into it that kind of make it like Google Docs. So once you log into the Nextcloud and there's a document, you can view it, you can edit it. Multiple people can be editing the document at the same time. Similar to Google Docs. It's very cool technology. And being a former Silicon Valley high-tech engineer architect guy, I freely admit my bias a little bit toward technology. And I think that, especially now in the 21st century, that technology is a very good way to, especially during this pandemic, but even not during the pandemic, is a way to reach out and communicate with one another. And then also practice together, meditation or chanting or just discussions or Dharma talks or whatever we want to call them. And then I think also engaging, in whatever ways are appropriate with having obviously discussions maybe about Buddhism with other types of Buddhists, and then also with people who are not Buddhists, who may want to ask questions or look up information or Google. I was reading an article the other day. I wish I could remember where it was, but I know that during this pandemic, because of the, there's a lot of suffering going on right now during this pandemic. Something that Buddha himself taught a lot about from what he saw during his own 80-year lifetime. And, it's absolutely at the core of his teachings is the easing of suffering, if not elimination entirely. So I think it's important for us to be able to reach out. And I'm not saying, as a former Nichiren Shoshu practicing Buddhist, who was always secular, even though that kind of went against the grain of Nichiren Shoshu officially. There are some aspects that I don't necessarily think are appropriate for us to do, so Nichiren Shoshu has something called shakabuku, which is basically like, I can't remember literally what that means in Japanese, but it essentially translates into evangelizing or proselytizing, like basically pushing what I call pushing Buddhism on others in a very kind of aggressive way. So I don't think that's, appropriate ethically, for us to do. Of course, that's fine if that's what Nichiren Shoshu folks want to do. But I think inside our own practice in school that maybe we could, I think we would, most of us would agree, who are secular, that, aggressive evangelization or, acting like Christians, right? Like Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or, there are other types too, and again, not that we don't respect Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, because we do, as fellow human beings, but there are certain type of behaviors that don't follow our Buddhist principles, and I would say that that's one of them, right? Being pushy and aggressive and argumentative is probably not healthy. So I think, there are ways to have discussions about Buddhism in general, or secular Buddhism, or our particular school, secular Lotus Buddhism, without being offensive or aggressive, or just basic Q&A with people who are curious. Yeah, I'm trying to think what else I wanted to talk about today. Sorry, I'm having lots of ums today. Yeah, so going back to technology and the website, so there are lots of good ideas that are being proposed and that are being tested by some people that are very kindly volunteering to help, which is very much appreciated. Oh, another thing that we should have soon, I'm being told, is on our website a way for people to actually register as members, and give us their, contact information, and so we can send out email newsletters or do things like that, right? And from time to time, we may have to do small, like donation fundraisers to pay for, the website hosting and just very, relatively small expenses that we have, so or that we may have, or if, so for example, here at my home, in Eureka in Humboldt County, I have a dedicated room, in my house, and I call it Dharma Abbey. But at, as we grow, and other people want to set up either, personal or hopefully, shared group, locations for doing secular Lotus Buddhist, practice, so reading, meditating, chanting, social events. I'm hoping that we can find free, spaces to do that in, once the pandemic, I mean, we have to wait until the pandemic is over. I know here in my little, what I call Dharma Abbey, I mean, it's only a 12 foot by maybe 12 by 14 foot room. So, I don't think I could really fit in a non-pandemic time. I don't think that it would be realistic to fit more than maybe 10 people in there meditating or chanting at one time. So hopefully, we're going to get to the point. I think now we have to do that all via live stream just because of the pandemic. But post-pandemic, like, let's be optimistic, hopefully they're going to find a vaccine to prevent contagion or further spread, and kind of shut down, COVID-19, kind of like how polio and smallpox were shut down from vaccines. But realizing that, in reading things from scientists online, I'm seeing, even though I know the Trump administration is saying, oh, it's coming tomorrow, it's coming in 3 months, it's coming. I mean, I'm sure they're doing testing, but a lot of that, I think, is a lot of, hoopla in order for Trump to, maybe he's trying to get reelected, so he'll kind of say anything. But I think realistically, various scientists, including, I think, Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx, have said that, a 2-year time frame is kind of more likely. Even an accelerated time frame would be 18 months. Other scientists are saying this could last for 2 to 5 years. With multiple waves and multiple lockdowns. So I think it may be a while before we can get together in person to talk and meditate and chant and have social events. So, but it's something we should look forward to and plan for in the future. So, and so, if anyone has any ideas for the website or kind of technology services that we could use that would be helpful, just send them our way. And more than happy to take a look at, evaluate, and maybe even test them. I do know that I have tested, so there's a very interesting kind of, for those of you who are technical, there are, so first of all, our technical environment is based, I believe, entirely on open source, free, community developed and maintained software. And so as we look at things, I mean, we're not looking at, software from Microsoft or from, non-open source places. But there is an open source, very interesting phenomenon or movement, and it's called federated social networking, that is very cool. And so basically what communities of people have done in the open source community is they have created versions of, clones or versions or variants of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, and other corporate social media, and created clones of those platforms that are, I think, in some cases, even better than the originals. And then all of those federate with one another. So, for example, if you're on, let's say, a kind of clone of Facebook, so one of them is Friendica, Friend ICA. And so that is federated, and it federates, based on this protocol called ActivityPub and OStatus and some others. So basically, when you post, so unlike in the corporate world of social media that we have now, where it's all siloed, right? So, like, if you post something on Facebook, people on Twitter can't see it unless you, duplicate post it over there, right? So one of the benefits to this federated social networking, which is so cool, is that you're on a federated social network of your choice. And then, if you choose so, you can also keep it private so that only certain people can see it, or you can set up a default where it's federated and it goes out to all these thousands, tens of thousands of servers in the world and millions of users. And so let's say that you're on, Facebook clone A. Let's say you're on Friendica and you post something on Friendica, and then, a couple minutes, few seconds, whatever, later, it also starts appearing on Twitter open source clones. Like, so for example, like Mastodon, or there are a few others out there. Or if you're on the YouTube clone, which is called PeerTube, PEER Tube, look it up. Very cool. So you post something on PeerTube, and then all of a sudden, if it's marked as, to share to the public, federated, it will also show up as links to the people on all the other federated social networks. So it's very cool. It's almost like you don't really have to have accounts on all these different servers and platforms. You can just be on one and then post there, and then it goes to all the rest of them. So that's something that is being thought about and tested as well. So just as one example, I did mention we're looking at an open source kind of membership software that integrates into WordPress, which is what our website is based on, and it allows us to basically have like a membership database that includes, and the information, by the way, is kept encrypted and private. It's not public. But the membership database then plugs into all of these other things where we can, send out like email newsletters, or various updates, or there's a whole slew of things that we can do with this Civi CRM. It's Civi CRM. So we can do, you know, like mass mailings out to the membership, or we can do fundraising if we needed or chose to do that. There's lots of cool features in there. So it just basically allows us to, you know, keep track of who we are as members and things like that. So things to look forward to as we grow. Anyways, as usual, if anybody has any comments or questions, please shoot them our way. Our temporary email address right now, until we get our own email system up and working, is secularlotusbuddhists, plural, all one word, period, eureka, or dot eureka, @gmail.com. You can also go to our Facebook page, Secular Lotus Buddhists, and click on the send message button to reach us. So if you have any questions or comments, and again, please keep them kind. I know it's the internet. I know people like to troll, but we're not really interested in engaging with trolls or people that are acting in a hateful way, right? So it's not that your opinions don't matter. It's just that we don't, you know, we don't want, it's a general part of Buddhist practice, right? Not to engage in hateful, you know, right speech is part of the Eightfold Path, which we try to adhere to. And we're not perfect because we're human beings, but we at least try to minimize using wrong speech. Which would apply to trolling, right? Love to hear from anyone and everyone. And have a nice remainder of the Memorial Day weekend. Stay safe. Wear a mask and gloves, depending on where you are. And please continue to practice social distancing. I know it's hard. A lot of us are stir crazy. But please, please be careful. Because remember that asymptomatic people who are showing no symptoms can spread COVID-19. And so even if any of us go out in public, and we become infected, we don't know that we're infected, maybe. I think the studies have shown some people are asymptomatic and never actually come down with symptoms, but they're shredding the virus to others. And so we have to be safe, not only to protect ourselves, but to protect those that we come into contact with. So I know it's becoming politicized and controversial. But please wear a mask when you're out in public to protect yourself and others. And if you're going to be, you know, in a supermarket or anywhere where you're touching things that hundreds, if not thousands, of other people are touching, you know, please wear gloves and, you know, use alcohol-based hand sanitizer and wash your hands frequently with soap and hot water. We just want everyone to be safe. On that note, I will let you go. Before we go, I just want to chant a brief daimoku. I'm sitting here, and my dogs are with me. And as some of you may or may not know, my one dog, Beavis, loves to sing. So sometimes when I chant, he chooses to sing along with me. So we'll see. He looks to be asleep right now. But yes, I have a dog who loves to chant. Sometimes the other, well, I have three dogs. The other two sometimes join in, rarely, but sometimes, but mainly it's Beavis loves chanting and singing. He loves music in general. So he sings along with, you know, any type of music I'm playing, but he seems to particularly enjoy coming into my little Dharma Abbey room and sitting with me while I'm doing meditation and chanting. And he just sits in my lap and he, you know, as I'm saying, particularly when I get into chanting the Lotus Sutra itself, so chapters 2 and 16, that's when he really gets going. And it's funny because he, you know, he's not just barking or howling. He's a Chihuahua, by the way. And some Chihuahuas seem to have the ability to match pitch. I'm an amateur musician, but Beavis comes amazingly close. You know, he really does try to match pitch with me on when I'm chanting. So it's pretty interesting. But I know it could be annoying to some listeners. So anyways, just a few moments of daimoku, of quiet meditation with verbal chanting, we can just clear our minds and then move on with the rest of our day or evening, depending on where you are. Okay. Nam-myoho-renge-kyo, 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 Nam-myoho-renge-kyo.